TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Or try this one on for size. Conduits of Trouble, as we do once a week. Zolged and Star Tribune sports columnist. And in honor of our former colleague, I will call him Chip Scroggins, because it took, as Chip wrote, it took Sid probably 5 years to find out that there was not an R in Scroggins, and he would always call, "Hey, Scroggins, what's going on?" So you're Chip Scroggins for today's episode of Conduits of Trouble.
I'll take it. And how about this one? I tweeted this out this morning, Judd. My daughter had to go get a physical at college today. And she's checking in, and a woman, the woman who's checking in, her last name is Scroggins. And she looks at her card. She's like, "It's so funny. Everybody calls me Scroggins." It's like the reverse Sid.
Oh, man.
How crazy is that?
Life's a funny dog, my man. Life is a funny dog sometimes.
Yeah, I was Scroggins for like that. I think it was like the first 10 years. And then he calls me in his office one day, and he's like, "Hey, the son's giving me crap because I keep calling you Scroggins on air." And I was like, "Yeah." He says, "Not Scroggins." I was like, "Nah, it's Scroggins. It's fine. Whatever you want to call me." And he's like, "You don't have an R in your name?" And I was like, "No, it's just Scroggins." He's like, "Well, okay. Maybe you should put an R in your name."
That's so sad. He never even tried, and I give him credit with Zolgad. There was never an attempt made. There was zero attempt made, and I always thought, you know what? He's smart enough to know not to go there, because Zolgad's going to be impossible.
Oh, yeah. Well, our other colleague, Steve Ashburner, tweeted me today that for 30 years he was Ashenbrenner. and the legendary Orville Burville. You know, that one. That was the best one.
Do you have the list of names?
I
had it.
I don't have it, but I could access it. But, yeah, for people who don't know that, in his copy, for one column, he was writing about Daryl Bevel, and somehow Daryl Bevel turned into Orville Burville.
And it was Seifert who found it. And I remember Seifert was laughing like a hyena in the office. And we're like, "What's so funny?" He's like, "You got to see this." And the person that loved that the most, Bevel. We told him.
Yeah, sure,
we said,
"Sure,
Daryl,
yeah, yeah,
you were Orville Burville." He's like, "What?"
Orville Burville.
But there was a list. This list of Sid misspellings of names and stuff was legendary, and it was the greatest thing of all time. I remember there was one, my favorite non-name one, but term. Yep. When the North Stars were on pay-per-view, Sid would refer to it in writing as pay-per-view. P-A-P-E-R-V-I-E-W. It was pay-per-view.
I remember, I think it's Ripple, Joe Ripple, who's an office worker, and he handled Sid's copy a lot early on. And, those guys, and Judd, you did it. So that's a badge of honor. I mean, they should have paid you double for some of the things you guys probably saw and had to quit.
It was hazard pay, my man. Hazard pay.
What did he wrote someone that, or said someone that someone smokes like a fish?
Yes. Smokes like a fish.
Oh, my goodness, Judd.
Oh, there were some great ones.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing was, it never slowed him down one bit, and it didn't bother him one bit. We'd all be laughing, and he'd be on to the next thing.
Judd, does it surprise you at all that on the day that he died, there was a column from him in the paper?
It doesn't, but I'm glad, because it was so fitting, too.
Yeah, it was fitting. And that's the thing. If you were a beat writer, not only did you compete against the other outlets in town, you competed against Sid.
Yes, very much.
And particularly, I would say every beat, but particularly with Gopher stuff. You know, I covered Gopher football for 5 years, and honestly, there are times I wasn't sure which team he was on. He wanted the information. He was so competitive. He wanted the scoops. He didn't want the beat person. Now, he wanted the Star Tribune to have it, but he wanted Sid to have it, not the beat person. And so, and he'd also scream at you if there were things that you wrote that he didn't like.
It's true.
So, but he would, you know, but then he would turn around and praise you. I mean, and you know, I like to say I got hired. He was almost 80. And, you know, they said, "Yeah, that's it. And, you know, we don't know how much longer he's going to work." Well, he worked 20 years. But So I and he was still hard charging it then, you know. But I didn't get the SID that a lot of people like Royce got, you know, the really ultra competitive, you know, just maniac about getting all the scoops. And
he got them too. Back then he got them. Yeah, so that's the incredible thing.
But I would say my first 10 years here, you know, he was still, you know, that way to some degree. And obviously he slowed down, you know, later on, and it wasn't as, I mean, it still is important, but it wasn't like it drove him like it sounds like he did, you know, as a, you know, much younger guy. But yeah, it's, I was talking to somebody about this the other night. So he worked at our paper how many years? 75?
I think he wrote columns for 75, but I think it went beyond that as far as distribution, correct? And things like that.
Yeah, like selling the papers.
Selling the papers, yeah.
Yeah.
On the street corners.
Can you think of any profession, somebody working for like a mailman or a banker or whatever, insurance, working for the same thing, place for 75 years? I mean, in the whole world, do you think this happened? I mean, it's just like, I'm sure it probably has, but that's incredible when you just think about it like that, that one person worked at one paper for one place for 75 years.
And Chip, the incredible thing is couple that with the fact that Sid was rich. Like he could have called it quits in 1975, gone to Florida, never been heard from again, and lived out, you know, a great life. He was rich. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing about it is he didn't even need to. The thing about Sid that I think everyone has to admire is there was never a day he saw his job as work. Now, that doesn't mean he was not ultra competitive and at times nasty about it. But like as far as just the work went, he never considered it to be actual work.
No, I mean, it was his life. And I think people always said that, you know, family members and people I knew, they said, oh, you think Sid will ever retire? It's like, no, he can't. Like that's not even part of his DNA. Can you imagine Sid like retired and not doing this?
No.
And I've heard this, and I felt it too, you know, just about his insecurity, and you could sense it when you're around him. And I've heard Chad talk about it the last couple of days with different places. But Chad, I remember a couple of years ago where I think it was Glenn, our old sports editor, you know, they wanted to maybe lighten his load. He's 95, 96, you know, said, you don't have to write 5 days a week. You know, let's have you write 4 days so you're not so busy. I think Sid thought he was getting fired.
Yep.
You know, he's like, why are you taking the day from me? I've never seen a 97-year-old person complain about someone trying to ease their workload. I mean, it was, you know, he wanted to work more, not less. It was unbelievable. And, you know, he had his routine for years where he would drive around. He had his stops. I got to do the Gophers, and I go to the Vikings.
He would park on sidewalks at certain places.
Yeah.
And then just walk right in the building. Like, I swear I saw a picture once of him basically the caddy propped up on the sidewalk in front of Bierman. It was just greatest.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. You know, I forgot to, you know, it might have been the 3M because I was, yeah, it had to be 3M. But there was a golf tournament, and you know how they have the car, the caddy's parked that is like a sponsorship, like on an island or on a green or, you know.
Yeah.
Sid thought that's where the parking was. He parked his caddy there. They had to come in.
Oh, my God.
They had to come in and tell him to move his car. So he was like Parker's sponsors were because it's right there.
Oh, my God.
But no, that's how, you know, and that, as a beat guy, that was the thing that it drove you crazy, but at least he was on your team that, you know, if I had tried to go into Glenn Mason's office or whoever's or Brad Childress, they would have dragged us out with machine guns. You know what I mean? It was like, but Sid could just walk the halls anywhere. And, you know, as a big guy, you're like, gosh, you know, now we're going to have to rely on Sid to get something. You know, he can get in there, but it's like, we wish we had that kind of access too. It would have drove me, it would have been a bigger deal if I worked at a different media outlet, right?
Oh, you knew. Yeah, you'd be in town PO'd.
Have carte blanche. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, but that's, he earned that right, you know, I mean, he absolutely earned that right to be able to, I'm sure it probably drove some people crazy that he had the run of the building.
Yes, it did.
A lot of these organizations, but that's, you know, that's the stature he had.
And the thing for Chip, people of our age, I think that's so hard to understand from way back in the 50s is how guys who wrote about sports had these side jobs Like, yeah. Sid helped run the Lakers. There was a boxing guy, you know. Just this whole thing of where the line back then was so blurred. And, like, so it would be like you doing your column and then going and helping PJ Fleck or something. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, the air is different. And you know, the whole business is, I think, it was just across the board, probably a lot more chummy back then, you know. Obviously, you know, you got a guy running a team and cover him. You say you're never going to see another city. Well, no, because it's just the whole landscape.
And the only thing, Chipper, different. The only thing that the paper told him back then is you can't write about the Lakers. That was the only thing that he was told back then.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, it's just preposterous to think about it now, like, you sit here and think, like, how could that even work? You know? But I, you know, it's funny, because I always worked in the office. You know, a lot of writers prefer just kind of be at their house or at the thing. But I always like being downtown, just like being in the newsroom. And so, I got the heavy dose of Sid, especially when we were in the old building. You know, 4 o'clock, he'd come charging in there with that big tape recorder under his arm. And but I used to love when he would sit down. He'd always come out to my desk and sit down and just, you know, start talking about whatever. But some of the stories, I mean, it's just like you're sitting there, you know, you tell me about riding a train to Pasadena with Bear Bryant. I'm sitting there like, what?
I mean, it's crazy.
The train to the Rose Bowl of Bear Bryant. I mean, it's just, it almost was unbelievable. The things that the people he, you know, interacted with and became close to, and just the things that he did in his career.
Babe Ruth was playing when Sid was born. Like, that's all you need to know. The Bambino was playing. He was great when Sid was born. So, yeah, it's incredible. Vikings, from a sad topic to a team that is playing very sad football, the Vikings. What's your observation about, after the debacle on Sunday, Chip Scoggins, about where they're at right now? And how much do you think that they should try and do, at least as far as exploratory stages, before the trade deadline comes up on election day?
Well, at this point, I think I don't even know if this is possible, Judd, but I would try to get rid of some veterans to try to free up some cap space and maybe get some draft picks. This team's going nowhere. But in saying that, like, who do you have that somebody's going to give up high draft picks for that you would be willing to part? I mean, there's only a couple, right?
Do you need high draft picks or just draft picks to accumulate?
Or whatever. Yeah. And probably the if it helps your salary cap situation as much as anything. But who fits that bill? Like, who's going to bring you a decent haul in return?
Anthony Harris to the Browns to replace Sendejo at safety might get you something.
Yeah, maybe.
Sendejo can't play.
But seriously, what? Like, what? Oh, I'd talking about a third round pick.
I'd take a fourth round pick for him.
Yeah, I mean, at this point,
I don't care.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're just going nowhere. And the thing is like, God, they are stuck with the quarterback. I mean, how are you going to get out from underneath that?
If you trade him post June 1st,
they can't trade him. Nobody's going to take him that contract. No way.
I would only. Okay. For the most part, I agree completely with what you just said. Here's my one hope if I'm the Vikings. Garoppolo somehow goes in the toilet completely, and I can convince John Lynch that he should make the trade, because the one guy on this planet who I think would take Kirk Cousins is Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, but what would that do to their set? I mean,
it's about a $10 million cap hit of dead cash, I think.
Yeah, dead it's money. Just such a but for the any team that takes him on is just going to be a massive contract to absorb and
why did you sign him though? I don't understand understand the extension.
Did they need the salary cap
space?
Yes,
that's why they did
that badly.
No. Yes, I mean, they needed it. No, they did not.
What could they have not have done? What could they have not accomplished if they hadn't have done that?
They would have been over the cap. They would have had to trim other guys out, which, by the way, would have been fine.
Was that Riley Reiff? Did they do that for Riley Reiff?
Which part?
Take a pick? No. So, I mean, who did they re-sign that?
Oh, they signed Michael Pierce.
Okay.
They signed Michael Pierce, who they couldn't have signed if Cousins contract hadn't been redone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not worth it.
No.
The second part of your question is correct.
Yeah. So you're stuck with him this year. You're probably stuck with him next year, after next year too, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're stuck, you're stuck. Year, yeah.
Judd, his quote's about, if I keep throwing these interceptions, I'm not going to finish the year. I'm going to be benched or lose my job. I mean, he clearly has no confidence. I got to imagine the head coach is, beyond frustrated with him.
Can we talk about those quotes, though? They're so fraudulent to me. He knows if they did not bench him.
Sean Mannion in?
Yeah, exactly. And look, I would have taken him out at halftime, all right? And I'm not saying that he wouldn't have started the Green Bay game, because Cousins would have started that game. But how you don't get yourself benched in the middle of that debacle on Sunday, to me, says you're never going to be benched. So don't come out and give me this lip service about, well, if I don't play well. It's all a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, and Judd, I wouldn't have, for two things. One, you're playing a team that hadn't won a game, so even though it felt like the game was over, you probably still had a shot. And Sean Mannion is not an answer at all. I mean, he is, there's just no way you can go to him. That's the thing that's bad about this, where if you had a young guy that you really thought you're grooming for something,
yes,
you would say, all right, Kirk, you know what? You're going to the bench and we're going to see this young guy. But you can't go to the bench for Sean Mannion.
I'll tell you this, starting in week 8, right? That's when they're back to playing against the Packers, week 8, starting in week 8, and I'm not saying that this guy's the answer. I have no idea. I've heard that behind the scenes they like him. Jake Browning is on my active game day roster.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that's the next step. Is like, I at this point, I think I just, cut Mannion or whatever to say you're going back to third. And if I do want to bench Cousins, at least I'm going to a young guy that you want to see what he, if you go to a young guy, you're wanting to get him experience and maybe see what he can do. If you're going to Mannion, you're just, I don't even know what you're doing. You're not trying to see if he's your future or anything. You're just, because you're mad at Cousins.
Yeah.
I would 100%. I would do that. And, I would probably, maybe give a long look at some young guys that, heck, they're playing young guys now anyway, so that's not really saying much, but I don't know. I mean, that was just so disappointing. And it really just feels like the rest of the year is meaningless. I mean, it just feels that way.
Oh, no. It's very important. Draft pick status.
Draft pick.
No, that's this right. Are you kidding me? The rest of this year is absolutely as key as it will ever get, because you've got the opportunity. Look, the Jets are accidentally going to win 2 games. Okay.
Sure.
Like, this is a race for that pick. And if you have a chance to get Fields or Lawrence, I don't care what the mental gymnastics to justify Cousins' presence. I don't even care at that point.
Is there any doubt whatsoever that they're going to use that first round pick on a quarterback? It better not be. I mean, you absolutely have to.
I agree with you, but I mean, I don't, Chip, I don't know.
Judd, they have to.
I agree.
They absolutely have to. I mean, they cannot put this off another year, and if you feel like, I wouldn't care if it hurts his feelings at this point. I mean, who cares? You've made a lot of money. I'm drafting a quarterback first round.
I've got a question for you. Do you trust, now it might just hit him in the face, but how much do you trust Spielman, and do you trust this coaching staff to take on that quarterback?
Judd, if they finish as 1-3, I'm not sure they're back.
Okay.
At this
That's
point,
fair.
Do you?
No.
I mean, I know they gave him extensions, but
I'm
not going to be surprised if they clean house. Would you? I just think if it's so bad, if you finish with, let's say, 4 wins or 5 wins or whatever the number is, I don't think it's guaranteed that this regime is back at all.
No, I think you're probably right. I think you're right. I don't think that Zimmer gets blown out in season under any circumstance.
I don't either.
But post, after it's done, my only question, because I agree with your point, my only question is this. Coming off a pandemic season and not knowing what the future holds financially, is there cause for pause from the Wilfs because of the fact that you didn't have fans in suites and seats and things like that? But if this is the disaster that we're seeing right now, I think they'd still probably fire at least Mike.
Judd, I think you could you can give them some cover defensively because, you know, you lost Pierce, you lost Barr, you lost Danielle Hunter, you're playing these rookies. Okay, that one you can say. But your quarterback is going the absolute wrong direction, and you're paying him a ton of money. And so I think if he continued to play like this, and he's a big reason, and your offensive line, which you've neglected for years, is a disaster, I think those are fireable. Like, you could make the case there. That has nothing to do with the pandemic, you know, and missing OTAs, I don't think. I mean, this was supposed to be the strength of your team, and it's just, you know, it's the quarterback is, you know, a liability right now.
Yes.
And so yes, I think you could say that. I think you say, you know what, you guys gambled twice on this guy and look at the results. I think you absolutely could. And imagine what is the temperature around town right now about this organization. So if this continues for the whole, you know how things go when momentum starts building and that fire starts building. A lot of times ownerships are reactionary based on what they're feeling and hearing from their fan base.
That building, if fans had been allowed in mask on Sunday, would have been beyond toxic. The halftime, Cousins would have been booed off and onto the field. It would have been absolutely toxic in that stadium if they had actually had fans. I think they allowed, what, like 250 family and friends or something in? But I'm talking an actual crowd.
And family aren't going to boo. You
know? I encourage them to. I thought they should have. I mean, if you've ever come close to booing, it was on Sunday. It was, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's Chipper. Well, you're right. It is going the wrong way in a lot of ways, but the quarterback is a mess right now.
And Judd, you said, you know, and I agree with you about, I don't think Zimmer would be fired during the season, but I got to be honest with you, that game felt a lot like that Brad Childress Green Bay game to me.
It did.
Like a watershed game. And, you know, I don't know that it would help any, you know, if you look for a spark to turn around, see, I don't think that's going to happen. So I don't think that they would, but that felt like one of those kind of crossroads type of losses where there's just nothing there, you know, and the body language is bad and the way they performed and watching Zimmer's reaction afterwards, he just seems completely out of answers right now on why this, you know, how to fix this, you know?
Well, I think that if he was pumped full of truth serum, Chipper, I think Mike would probably admit he is absolutely shocked and has no idea why this offense looks so bad and what's happened to Cousins. Like, I think he's probably shocked because, you know, it was intriguing in his day after a game press conference that he talked about the defense, right? And the problems with the cornerbacks, like things he could explain. Like he wasn't happy about them, but he knew what he had seen on tape. I don't think he understands what he's seeing because it's just so bad and it's not his ballywick. And I think he thought, oh, Gary's going to, you know, it was Gary's offense last year and Stefanski did a great job calling plays and now it's going to be Gary and it's going to be great. I think he's probably as perplexed as we are about why this offense has taken such a bad turn.
Well, and I mean, just look at the first play. If you're sitting there, if you're Zimmer and you're watching that, aren't you thinking like, what in the world? I mean, why would he throw that pass?
Yes.
And even Cousins said, I would make, you know, that's kind of pass I'd throw my first year, not how it should be in my career. I mean, that was, I'm sure Zimmer's sitting there like, what am I missing here? Why is he throwing that pass into five guys? That was just an easy.
With all the time in the world too.
Yeah.
Good protection.
So I'm sure it's stuff like that he's just like, and you know, I mean, every coach turnovers drives them crazy, but that's something that them just harps on constantly, field position, don't turn the ball over, and to come out and throw that pass on the first, you know, play, I'm sure he's just apoplectic about some of the things he's seen.
Yeah, and Kirk looks just befuddled and terrible, and it's really weird. Last thing, Gophers start on Saturday. I did see what the report that Michigan had shut down. I think they've shut down their students basically as far as they can't go out, but athletes still can go out. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So we're set to play.
Yeah. As far as I know, and what they said, that the game's still on. So, but it's, you know, we had a Zoom with PJ on Monday and Judd, it's clear they have guys that are going to miss the game. I mean, he said he won't give a number, won't give names, but he made it clear there's going to be guys that miss the game. I asked him about the defense because there's so many new faces there. And, you know, this is, I asked him, you know, do you have a sense of what that defense identity yet? Or are you still kind of, when you have so many new faces, you're kind of curious to see how they respond, you know, when the lights are on? He said, yeah, not only that, you know, you have some guys that may not be in there for testing or whatever. So it's clear that they're gonna be without some guys. And he said, well, it's not 65. I don't want anybody thinking that. But I think it's pretty obvious there's going to be a couple guys that are not available. And that's the thing, Judd. I wrote this for my national column to kick off the season this week, is this season might come down to who gets luckiest. Because in the Big Ten, at least, if a Gopher player tests positive today, he's missing three games automatic.
Yep.
I mean, it's 21 days. So, yep. You know, if your quarterback tests positive, he's down three games. If you have six starters this week test positive, you're without them for three games.
Hey, so Chip, if a guy tests positive, do they retest them and to see if it's false? Yeah. And if it's false, they can come right back? Or are they just out for 21 days?
No. I think you have to have two or three negatives come back.
Okay.
So you do get, they're getting tested every day, Judd. And so,
God bless America.
But if it happens on Friday, I mean, I don't know, you're gonna get the test back for Saturday, but they do have, daily tests to rule out false positives. But if they are positive, then you know, you're down for 21 days. And so, I mean, this is, there was a game, Virginia Tech played a game, against Duke. They didn't have 21 players and three coaches.
How about Florida?
Yeah.
Florida. Open up the stadium. We want a full. Oh, hold on a second. We're not even going to play.
Yeah, we have 25 guys and our coach out. So it's really going to be, you know, it's going to be challenging to see. I wouldn't bet on college football this year. I would say that because you may place that bet and all of a sudden you get to the game and you may be without some really important players on your team. And so I don't want to say this year is a wash, Judd, because I mean, that's not fair, you know, but it could be just complete chaos week to week with guys coming and going.
Chip, I think it's completely fair to say in all sports, it's a special year. Like, yeah. I'm watching games, so I am certainly not saying I'm going to boycott games, but there's no sport in which this is normal, and it shouldn't be.
No.
So I think it's very fair to say, and that was my point from day one. The asterisk is not to say, well, the season sucked and, you know, I didn't watch it. No. The asterisk is there to say this was a very, you know, 50 years from now, sports that played in 2020, I think it needs to be explained the circumstances.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, because
it's not normal.
You know, every coach is saying we can't use this as an excuse, but, and I get that. You don't want, you know, you're trying to win and you don't want anybody to, you know, explain stuff away. But, you know, if you have a starter that you're preparing all week and on Thursday test positive, and maybe, you know, a guy in his position room does too.
Right.
And now you have a freshman that you thought you might redshirt, and all of a sudden he's starting. Well, you can't possibly think that player is going to play as well as the senior starter.
If Rashad Bateman can't play two or three games, like you can't just say, well, too bad he didn't play. No, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, you could say, well, their offense struggled, or they weren't as good because Bateman wasn't there. And so, it'll be and because they're on campus and, you know, it's just so much harder to contain this on campus. I mean, they're doing daily testing, and I think, you know, teams are hopefully taking it, players are taking it, you know, smart and not going out the bars and all that. If you can still go out the bars, I don't even know. But it's not like the NFL where,
right,
you know, NFL players are home facility, you know.
Yes.
They're not going to class and things. It's just different on a college campus, and you see the outbreaks. And so that's why we're seeing big numbers around the country for teams. So
exactly.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be great if it was both teams could, you know, Gophers and Michigan could have everybody available and you see, you know, how it is. But I'm sure both teams are going to have a number of guys out probably.
Who wins, do you think?
I probably would, you know, I think the Gophers will score points because I think they're, if they have everybody, we'll throw that caveat out every week. I think, you know, that offense should average a lot of points, but the defense has so many new faces. I think there's some talent there, but you don't know.
And Antoine, you know, really, Winfield Jr. was so good, Chip.
And Kamal Martin and Carter Coughlin, you're talking about NFL players that they lost. And so they like their talent. They think these guys have potential, but we haven't really seen them in a game. So they also could give up a lot of points. But I don't know. I'll go Gophers in a narrow win, maybe.
First time that they would have beaten Michigan in Minneapolis since 1977.
Oh, that long, huh? 86 was there, right?
Yes. They've beaten them. Yeah. I believe they've beaten them three times since then in Michigan, but they have not beaten them at home since they beat them at Memorial Stadium. I think it was Cal Stahl was coaching in 1977.
And this is what we should do. This is when we make predictions, they should allow us to make predictions right before kickoff so we know who's there.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
And PJ wouldn't say this either. And, you know, they had a couple guys, offensive linemen, that were considering opting out. And so not only do you have to deal with injuries, you may have opt outs and positive tests. So who knows what?
Not the big kid.
Filele? I think it might be Dunlap too, I think.
Oh no.
I don't know about Filele, but Dunlap, I know he put his name in the right, he put his name in the transfer portal, then pulled it out, and so I don't know his status. PJ just is not going to go down the depth chart and say, "Here's who's here." You know, he's refusing to do that. Obviously, I don't think any coach is going to do that. So, but it's just honestly, it is so hard to know because you don't know who is going to be there. You know, at kickoff.
Last thing, what happened?
No, I don't want him done.
What happened to your Vols?
I sent you
a note during the first half of the Georgia game. I said, your boys are back. This looks good. Ever since then, I'd like to apologize because I clearly jinxed them.
Judd, two pick sixes. How often do you see that in a game?
I just don't understand. I
mean, it. We get edged by Kentucky by 27 points at home, and now we got to play Alabama, which looked like the greatest, you know, steamrolled Georgia. That they're averaging... Alabama's averaging like right at 50 points a game against Georgia and some other. What do you think you're going to do against? So, I don't know.
Nick Saban's Superman. I mean, the man had COVID, and the next thing you know, he's fine.
Did you see this? Yeah, I know. Saban was going to be on that sideline no matter what. But did you see the stat where he's faced former assistant coaches, and he's like 21 or 22-0.
Yes, he beats up on all of them. Yes,
that's unbelievable. Like, okay, pupils, don't come at the teacher here.
The only answer is to have Belichick take a college job and come back and beat his former pupil in Nick Saban. That's the only answer.
That would be great. I know. So I'm not holding my breath for a big shocker this weekend. Hopefully, you can keep within four touchdowns.
And didn't you fire? You fired your DC, right?
No, the defensive line coach.
Oh, defense. Okay, that'll fix everything.
That'll do it.
That Vols defensive line was a mess on Saturday. That was the problem.
Yeah, we fixed it. Now we're back. Defensive line coach out.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, I will talk to you soon, Chip Scoggins.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Take care. Bye. Conduits of Trouble. We'll talk to you next week.